thank our brother and his wife for coming and singing for us. Trust the Lord will bless that message to every heart and soul. And the Lord will bless our brother and his wife as they sing for the Lord and as they seek to serve the Lord day by day. We also just sympathize with our sister Lisa in the recent passing of her father as a congregation, and ensure her and her family of our prayers at this time. The Lord will continue to strengthen them and uphold them in their great time of need. But we're going to turn again to that passage of Scripture, please, to Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, and the 18th chapter of the Gospel of Luke. And with God's Word just open before us, let us bow together in a brief word of prayer. Our Father and our God, we thank Thee for Thy Word and for Thy presence with us already, and for the singing of the Gospel and the hymns of Zion. Bless all that has already taken place to our hearts and to the glory of God. So we turn now to consider Thy Word. We pray that Thou wilt speak to us from the sacred page tonight. Open our eyes to behold wondrous things out of Thy law. Cleanse this vessel, Lord, afresh in the precious blood. Fill me, Lord, afresh with the Holy Ghost and the power of God. And Lord, hide man behind the cross and use Thy Word, O God, tonight to save precious souls. Give liberty, clarity, plainness of speech, we pray. And give words directly, Lord, from Thyself. And may there be rejoicing in the courts of heaven tonight over some soul in Market Hill coming and trusting the Lord as their Savior. Answer prayer and bless to this end, we pray. We ask all these things for Jesus' sake and glory. Amen. Now, the little text of Scripture I'd like us to consider this evening is the final words there of verse number 13 of Luke's Gospel, chapter 18, where it simply says, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. In the early part of this great chapter of God's Holy Word, you find two parables that were spoken by our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. The first parable concerns the importunate widow and that woman who received much for her asking. There's a wonderful lesson there to God's people. It teaches the believer the importance of persistence in the place of prayer and the seeking of God in prayer. The second of the parables relates to the prayer of the Pharisee and a publican. You see that from verse 10 of the chapter. It says, two men went up into the temple to pray, the one a Pharisee and the other a publican. This Pharisee was a man. He was religious outwardly, but he was a man who was full of pride. He was full of self-righteousness. And you see that very clearly from what he says in verse 11 and 12 of the chapter. It says that Pharisee stood and prayed thus with himself, God, I thank Thee that I am not as other men are, extortioners, unjust, adulterers, or even as this publican. I fast twice in the week. I give tithes of all that I possess. This man's prayer was rejected by God. You notice very clearly there that the Lord Jesus Christ speaks with him in verse 11, and he says the Pharisee prayed thus with himself. His prayer went no higher than the ceiling, so to speak. He was not saved by God's grace. He never knew the wonderful pardon of all of his sins. He never knew what it was to be sure and to be made ready for heaven. Then whenever you come to verse 13 of the chapter, there you have record from the lips of Christ regarding the publican's prayer. And it says, and the publican standing afar off, would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven, but smote upon his breast, saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. And friends, the Bible shows us that God heard the cry of this man. The Lord saved this man, and the Lord made him ready and fitted him for heaven. And you see that from the very words of Christ in verse 14 of the chapter, when Jesus says, I tell you, this man, that's the publican,
went down to his house justified rather than the other. God was merciful to this man who would have been greatly hated and greatly despised by others in the day of Christ. The Lord in mercy and in great grace saved the soul of this man. And friends, this prayer here at this publican really shows us the way that you and I also can be saved from our sins and be sure of heaven. And it's that prayer for salvation when he cried out, God be merciful to me, a sinner, that I want us to focus our minds and our attention upon for a little while this evening. What do we note about this prayer for salvation? First of all, I want you to see that this prayer was marked by confession. He says here, God be merciful to me, a sinner. There you see there was confession of sin. God be merciful to me, a sinner. That phrase there, a sinner, in the original literally means the sinner. Or if you like, a great sinner. This man here acknowledges that he was the worst of sinners and before God. And friend, this evening let me say this, that if you are to be saved, you must acknowledge before God and in the presence of Almighty God your need as a lost, hell-deserving, guilty sinner. You must be prepared to take the sinner's place in the sight of Almighty God like this man. Indeed, this is how it was with David, where he could say in one of the Psalms, I will declare mine iniquity. I will be sorry for my sin. David took the sinner's place. This is how it was also with the hymn writer, for they could say, vile and sinful though my heart may be, they stood in the place of the sinner. They took the sinner's place. They owned their sin before Almighty God. My friend, if you're to be saved, you must be prepared to take the sinner's place and acknowledge your sin before Almighty God. Yes, there was confession of sin. Notice something else here, that his confession was marked by contrition. Look at the beginning there of verse number 13. It says, and the publican standing afar off would not lift up so much as his eyes unto heaven. He bowed his head before God. Because of his sin, this man feels himself to be unworthy in the presence of God. He knows that in himself there is no merit with God, that there's no merit in his self-righteousness with God. There's no merit with his works before God. Either is contrition of heart in the presence of God. By the Bible says, God resisteth the proud and giveth grace unto the humble. Indeed, the Lord says, to this man will I look, even to him that is poor and of a contrite spirit, and trembleth at my word. And this is how it was with this man. He was contrite before God. Friend, let me say this, that if you are to be saved, you also must humble yourself before Almighty God. Now you must realize that all your works and all your own self-righteousness and anything of man cannot save your soul before God. The Bible says that salvation is not of works, lest any man should boast. All your works done with the best will in the world cannot save your soul. The Bible says all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags in the sight of God. All your self-righteousness has no merit with God whatsoever. Yes, there was confession of sin. It was marked by contrition of heart. You'll notice something else here, that this man's confession was marked with a burden. For it says there again in verse 13 that he smote upon his breast. That suggests that this man had a tremendous burden in his heart. This man was burdened down with his sin. He was concerned about his sin. He was concerned about his soul. This was a man who wanted deliverance from that awful burden and weight of sin upon his heart and upon his life. Friend, let me ask you the question tonight. The question is simply this. Tell me, are you concerned tonight about your sin? Are you concerned this evening about your soul? Let me ask, is the burden of your sin weighing you down? Is the burden of your sin troubling your heart and troubling your soul and troubling your mind as it was with this man? This is how it was also with David. Turning your Bible back, please, to Psalm number 38. Psalm number 38 and the verse number 4. And look at what David says here about the awful burden of sin in his life. Psalm 38 verse 4, he says, "For my iniquities," that's his sin, he says, "are gone over mine head. As an heavy burden, they are too heavy for me." David here, as he writes that psalm, is burdened down with the awful guilt and the awful weight of his sin in the presence of God. Are you here tonight, dear friend, burdened about your soul? Are you here this evening burdened about your sin, burdened down with sin? My friend, if you are, let me say this, there's good news for you. Praise God, there is hope for you in Christ in regard to this burden. For what does the Lord Jesus Christ say in the Gospel of Matthew? He says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." The Lord Jesus Christ can take away that burden. The Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you from the awful burden and weight and guilt of your sin. The hymn writer rightly says, "Burdens are lifted at Calvary, and Jesus is very near." Friend, let me say, no matter how great the burden of your sin is, praise God, the Lord Jesus Christ can deliver you and He can save you from that awful burden. Why, there's hope for you tonight in Christ and in the gospel. Yes, this publican's prayer was marked by confession. But notice, secondly tonight, notice something else. This publican's prayer was also marked by faith. There was faith in his prayer. For he cries out here in Luke's gospel, chapter 18 and the verse 13. He says, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." And I want you to see here that his faith was Christ-centered. It was Christ-centered. He says, "God be merciful." And that word merciful literally means to be appeased. Or if you like, to be propitiated. You might say, well, what does that big word mean? Propitiation really means the appeasing of God's wrath toward the sinner who trusts in Christ, who trusts in the sacrifice of the Lord Jesus Christ alone upon the cross of Calvary. You turn with me in your Bible further over to the New Testament, to 1 John in the chapter 1. And to the verses 1 and 2 of that same chapter, you'll see the meaning of this word propitiation. How it means the appeasement of God's wrath through Christ and through His sacrifice upon the cross. 1 John chapter 2. And the verses 1 and 2. And look at what John says here. He says, "My little children, these things write I unto you, that ye sin not. And if any man sin, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." And notice what it says. "And he that is Christ is the propitiation for our sins. And not for ours only, but also for the sins of the whole world." And that teaches us there that the Lord Jesus Christ, the sacrifice of Christ upon the cross, is sufficient to appease the wrath of God toward that sinner who trusts in Christ, no matter who they are, no matter wherever they are to be found. And that's how it was with this publican when he made this prayer, "God be merciful to me, a sinner." He was asking God to save him from hell and from judgment. On account of the fact of Christ's sacrifice, that Christ had bore the judgment for him upon the cross of Calvary, that purchased pardon and deliverance from hell for all who will trust him as Savior. You see, the Bible says of Christ, "But now once in the end of the world if he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself." This publican was trusting in the merit of Christ, and his blood and his sacrifice and his righteousness alone for his salvation. And friend, let me say this, that if you are to be saved from a lost eternity in hell, if you are to be sure of heaven, then you must come to God the same way, the exact same way as this man came to God. You must come trusting in the blood of Christ alone for the salvation of your soul and the forgiveness of your sins. The Bible says there is one God and one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Jesus says, I am the door. He says, I am the way. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. Indeed, the hymn writer could say, I must needs go home by the way of the cross. There's no other way but this. My dear friend, of God's wrath that is upon you for your sin, if that wrath is to be stayed, if that wrath is to be turned away from you and from falling upon you, you must trust in Christ and in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. Do you remember what Paul and Silas said to the Philippian jailer who wanted to be saved? They said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. My friend, in salvation, Christ is the one you must trust in. You must rest upon His blood. Trust in His sacrifice alone for your salvation. Yes, his faith was Christ-centered. Something else here to note. You'll notice also that his faith was personal. For he says, God be merciful to me, a sinner. This man here was concerned about his own salvation. He's asking God here to deal personally and mercy with him. My friend, if you are to be saved, you must personally deal with Christ. There must be personal dealings in your heart and in your soul with Christ. Sometimes during an election, you can hear of people maybe voting by proxy. That really means somebody else voting on their behalf, and that vote is counted as legitimate in the eyes of the law of the Lamb. Well, I must say to you tonight, regarding the matter of salvation, there is no such thing as salvation but by proxy. You cannot be saved because your parents are saved or your children are saved. You cannot be saved simply because your husband or your wife is saved or some close friend that you know is saved. You cannot be saved maybe because your minister is saved or some pastor or evangelist that you know is saved. Likewise, my friend, you cannot be saved also through your church. You go around the doors and continually, week in, week out, you hear this on the doorstep, I've my church. I've my church. I've my church. No matter how good the church may be, no matter how orthodox the church may be, no church can save a man or a woman or a young person from their sin and fit them for heaven. Friend, there must be personal dealings in your heart, in your soul, with God and with Christ. You listen to what Jesus says in John chapter 6 and the verse 37. There he's speaking of the people of God who are saved, ready for heaven, whose sins are forgiven. And he says, all that the Father giveth me shall come to me. And him that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. My friend, think of those words of Christ by faith. You must personally come to Christ. This is your responsibility as a sinner before God. You must come to Christ by faith. You must confess your sins to the Lord Jesus Christ. You must ask the Lord Jesus Christ to save you from your sin and to save your soul. I remember well the night I was saved. Many years ago, I was just a young child, but I can remember it just as if it was yesterday. Knew very little about the Bible, but I knew I was a sinner. I knew that if I died in my sin, I would go to hell. I knew the Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross of Calvary to save me from my sins. And I could take you to the very spot of ground where I got down on my knees and simply confess my sin to the Lord Jesus Christ and ask the Lord Jesus Christ into my heart and life to be my Savior. And I thank God that night when I cried as a young child unto the Lord for salvation. He did not turn me away. He took me in. He washed away my sins. He saved my soul. And He fitted me for heaven. But I knew that night that I had to come to Christ to be saved. And friend, if you're to be saved, you must come to Christ. Not to the church. The church cannot save you. Not to the Lord's table. Not to baptism. Not to some friend or not to somebody else that you know. You must come personally to Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Think of the old thief dying on the cross. He cried out, "Lord, remember me." There was dealings in his soul with Christ. Tell me, have you ever sought the Lord? Have you ever called upon the Lord to save your soul? Yes, his prayer was marked by faith. It was marked by confession. But notice one final thing tonight. Praise God, this publican's prayer was answered. It was answered. You may say, well, how do you know that? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ tells us very clearly that it was answered. But look at what Jesus says at the beginning of verse number 14. He says, "I tell you, this man," that's this publican, "went down to his house," notice it, "justified rather than the other." Why, the old self-righteous Pharisee was not saved, but the publican was. And Christ's own word testifies to that very fact. This publican was saved by faith in calling upon Christ for salvation. And likewise, my friend, if you trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior, you shall be saved. You will not be disappointed. Turn over, please, to Acts chapter 2. Just a little bit over after the Gospel of John. And look with me, please, there at the verse number 21. Maybe you've been thinking about salvation. There's been a battle going on in your heart. And maybe the devil will be saying, how do you know the Lord will take you? And how do you know the Lord will save you? Well, here you have the promise of God's Word. You can rest upon that promise. Look at verse 21 of Acts chapter 2. It says, "And it shall come to pass that whosoever," notice it, "shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." It says, it shall come to pass. It is sure. It is certain. My friend, if you trust the Lord will save you. My, He will justify you just as He did here for this publican. Jesus says, "I tell you, this man went down to his house justified." In other words, he was pardoned of all his sins. He was now reconciled to God as Maker. He was now an heir of God's grace. He was saved from the wrath to come, saved from hell, and he was now sure of heaven. And likewise, friend, if you trust Christ as your Savior, you too will be justified. In a moment of time, you will be justified. What does that mean for you? It means this, that when you trust Christ as your Savior, God will forgive all your sins. My, you'll be reconciled to God. He will now be your Heavenly Father. My, you will be an inheritor of the grace of God to live for Christ. You'll be saved from the wrath to come. You'll be sure of heaven. The Bible says, and this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life. This life is in His Son. He that hath the Son hath life. Have you the Son tonight? Have you Christ as your Savior this evening? He that hath the Son hath life. During the Great Depression in North America in the 1930s, there was a certain bank that was saved from collapsing. This was due to a wealthy benefactor who invested all his money in that bank. And by that act of faith on his behalf, on his part, the bank and all its deposits and all its interests were saved at that time. And man, woman, young person, boy or girl in our meeting tonight, you too can be saved from your sin. You too can be made sure of heaven. You will but trust the Lord Jesus Christ as your Savior. The Bible says the just shall live by faith. You know, in Bible times, this publican, he was a tax collector for the Roman army. He would have been hated by the Jews. He was despised by the Jews. In fact, the Jews regarded the tax collectors as worse than the very dogs of the street. The people would have had no time for this man whatsoever. Yet in this great passage we read of God's love and God's mercy to such, and saving his soul. And friend, just as the Lord loved this man, just as he saved this man, so let me tell you tonight, God loves you. The Bible says God is love. And if you come and trust Christ as your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ will not turn you away. The Bible speaks of Christ and it says, this man receiveth sinners. He received this man. And he will receive you. He will save you. You call upon him, you trust him. The hymn writer says, I'm coming to the cross. I am poor and weak and blind. I am counting all but dross. I shall full salvation find. There's full salvation tonight for you. And Christ, the Lamb of God, don't go away without Christ as your Savior. You come tonight. You accept him. You trust him as Savior. You say, well, what do I pray? Follow the example of this publican. Lift up your heart in prayer to God in the closing moments of this meeting. And say, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. God will hear your cry. God will save your soul. And God will fit you for heaven, saved and washed and redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. We're going to close our meeting tonight, singing together the hymn number 243. Sinners, Jesus will receive. Sound this word of grace to all. Who the heavenly path we leave, all who linger, all who fall. 243 will stand as we sing.